This audiobook is a continuation of The Secrets of the 33rd Degree. In this continuation, we go deeper into the mysteries they never meant for you to hear. You've already learned the fundamentals, the secret societies, the four sacred laws, and how consciousness shapes reality. But what if those teachings were only the tip of the pyramid? What you're about to experience is not just more information, it's initiation. The missing pieces, the forbidden interpretations, and the inner alchemy that even most Freemasons never uncover. This audiobook isn't meant to entertain, it's meant to awaken. Chapter 1. The Part They Left Out. If you've come this far, then you already know the 33rd degree isn't about prestige, it's about perception. In the previous teachings, we unveiled the four foundational laws: awareness, clarity, creation, and balance, each one unlocking a facet of mastery over reality itself. But here's the truth they never told you. These laws were never meant to be studied. They were meant to be embodied. And more importantly, there's a hidden layer beneath them. This audiobook is about that hidden layer. We're going to explore the fifth law, the law of inner authority, the ability to become your own source, your own truth, and your own power. You'll discover the forgotten blueprint encoded in Masonic symbolism that goes beyond rituals and titles and into the energetic structure of consciousness itself. We'll decode the true pyramid of power. Not a hierarchy of control, but a sacred triad of mind, energy, and intention, working in harmony to create your inner world and reflect it into the outer. You'll also hear how most teachings were deliberately fragmented, knowledge scattered like puzzle pieces across time. Ancient Egypt, Hermeticism, yogic science, Freemasonry. But in this audiobook, we unify those fragments. We connect the dots, and we return them to you whole. If you are still here, still listening, then you're not just curious. You're ready. And that means you're no longer seeking permission to access this knowledge. You're stepping into it. So let's begin what few have dared to explore. This chapter is the key in the door. The rest of this audiobook, that's the path through it. Chapter 2, The Fifth Law, Inner Authority. This is the part they hoped you'd never figure out. Not because it was too dangerous, but because it would make you uncontrollable. It would dissolve the illusion that authority comes from outside. It would make you ungovernable, not by force, but by realization. In the previous chapter, we exposed the cracks in the Temple of Secrets, the part they left out. You learned that while symbols, rituals, and outer degrees may point to truth, they are not the truth. Now, we begin where the old path ends, with the fifth law. Inner authority isn't just a concept, it's a frequency, a recognition that the divine spark you've been searching for in temples, texts, and teachers has always lived within your own consciousness. The fifth law teaches that all power is borrowed unless it arises from within. Throughout time, secret societies have used symbols like the eye, the throne, or the compass to signify divine authority. But these were never meant to glorify institutions. They were blueprints for inner mastery. Yet over time, the teachings became inverted. The symbols used to condition rather than to liberate. And the real secret? That no permission is required to awaken. You are the gatekeeper. You are the initiate. You are the temple. They concealed this law not with chains, but with distractions, making you think awakening required external approval, degrees, teachers, validation. But the fifth law breaks the hierarchy. It says, stop seeking, start remembering. It begins when you stop outsourcing your decisions to everyone else, when you stop asking the world for permission to follow your calling, when your validation no longer comes from applause or approval, but from alignment. That is inner authority in motion. A life lived not to impress, but to express. To activate it, you must begin listening not with your ears, but with your inner resonance. This law speaks in the language of knowing, a felt sense that bypasses logic and enters your core. Some call it intuition, others, divine guidance. But it's not about labels. It's about alignment. Here's how you know you're standing in your inner authority. You say no and feel peace, not guilt. You walk away from what no longer resonates without needing to explain. You feel called to something, even if no one else understands. You trust your inner yes more than external advice. And here's what changes when this law becomes embodied. You become magnetic, not through effort, but through presence. You no longer chase opportunity. Opportunity moves toward you. You speak, and people feel truth, even if they can't explain why. This isn't ego. This isn't rebellion. This is remembrance. Because power sourced from the ego craves control. But power sourced from within radiates calm conviction. It doesn't argue. It doesn't need to. It simply is. The fifth law rewrites your contract with reality. You stop being a follower of dogma and start being a transmitter of truth. This doesn't mean you reject teachers or mentors. It means you no longer put them on pedestals. You see them as mirrors, not masters. And here's the part that really disrupts the system. Once you activate inner authority, you don't need protection from the darkness. Because you stop giving it your power. You stop waiting to be rescued. You start creating from clarity. Your vibration becomes your boundary. In the chapters that follow, we'll decode how the world was structured to distract you from this knowing. Through geometry, symbolism, media, and architecture, we'll explore how the outer matrix was designed to keep your inner temple dormant. But now, if you're still here, the fifth law is already waking up inside you. The next chapter will reveal the hidden blueprint, how your energy body mirrors the design of sacred structures, and how the ancients encoded the divine map right under our noses. Ready? Let's step deeper. Chapter 3, The Hidden Blueprint. Energy Architecture and Sacred Design. In Chapter 2, we revealed the fifth law, inner authority. The realization that your power doesn't come from degrees, robes, or rituals, but from alignment with your inner truth. Now let's go deeper. Because the moment you awaken to your own power, you begin to see differently. What you once dismissed as decoration now glows with purpose. What looked like architecture reveals itself as encoding. This chapter will show you that the ancient temples were never just physical places. They were blueprints of you. Yes, you. Your energy body, your spine, your auric field was mirrored in every ancient structure of significance. From the pyramids of Giza to the Gothic cathedrals of Europe and the layout of Freemasonic temples, these weren't just grand monuments. They were maps of consciousness, physical reflections of your internal sacred design. Let's start with the 7 levels of ascent, encoded in everything from ziggurats and step pyramids to cathedral floors and Freemasonic initiations. These 7 levels weren't just architectural tiers. They were symbols of energetic ascension, each one corresponding to a chakra, from root to crown, from survival to sovereignty. This isn't New Age metaphor. It's geometry. Take the Gothic cathedrals, for example. Their pointed arches, rose windows, and towering spires weren't just aesthetic choices. They created energetic resonance. The structures were designed to draw your energy upward, tuning your field to higher frequencies the same way your inner temple does when you meditate or chant. Even Masonic temples, with their black and white checkered floors and dual pillars, Boaz and Jachin, symbolize polarity. Masculine and feminine, left and right brain, logic, and intuition. But here's the twist. These symbols weren't meant to divide. They were bridges. Duality was only step one. Integration is where the real transformation begins. You've walked on this sacred geometry. You've sat in pews aligned with energy grids. You've watched rituals unfold that echo the initiations of the inner world. But if you didn't have the eyes to see, it all looked like showmanship, ceremony, symbolism. But it was all a mirror. You are the cathedral. You are the pyramid. You are the temple. And once you realize that, you stop needing the external structures. You stop waiting for the gatekeepers, because the blueprint was never locked in stone. It was written in your soul. Here's something else they won't say out loud. Every great structure of power is modeled after the human form. Why? Because when the body is aligned, physically, emotionally, and energetically, it becomes the most advanced instrument for divine connection. The ancients knew this, the builders knew this, and so did the architects of secret societies. The real secret isn't in the temples, it's that your own body is the temple. When you walk into certain sacred sites and feel goosebumps or pressure in your chest, that's not mystery. That's resonance. The structure is vibrating at a frequency your energy body recognizes. It's tuning you, like a string to a chord. That's why you can't fake sacred geometry. It either resonates or it doesn't. So what does this mean for you? It means you no longer need to chase wisdom in faraway temples or encrypted books. You begin to feel your way through truth. You become sensitive to places, people, and symbols, not as aesthetic or academic interests, but as frequencies. You begin to remember what you already knew, and that's what they never wanted. A population who could walk into a room and feel the energy, who could see a building and decode its intention, who could recognize manipulation not by argument, but by resonance. Because once you do, you cannot be controlled. The 5th law gave you sovereignty. The hidden blueprint gives you the map. And if you're still with me, your inner architect is already online. In the next chapter, we'll examine how the power of symbols and language has been used not just to communicate ideas, but to shape your reality. How certain symbols activate memory, bypass resistance, and unlock layers of consciousness most people never realize they're carrying. Chapter 4. Symbols and Language. The Architecture of Perception. In the previous chapter, we uncovered the energetic architecture embedded in temples, cathedrals, and even your own body. You saw how every sacred space was a blueprint of the human energetic system and how the true temple was always within you. But architecture is only half the spell. The other half? Language, symbols, words. These are the tools used not to build cathedrals, but to shape realities. Welcome to Chapter 4, where we pull back the curtain on the mechanics of symbolic influence. How powerful symbols and words act as tuning forks for consciousness, bypassing your logic and whispering directly to your subconscious. Let's begin with a simple but powerful truth. The subconscious does not understand sentences. It understands symbols. This is why ancient wisdom was never handed down as instruction manuals. It was encoded in glyphs, signs, allegories, and ritual. The left brain, the rational mind, can debate a sentence, but the right brain, the creative, intuitive, and emotional processor, feels symbols instantly. That's why one symbol can trigger awe, fear, love, or even full memory recall. Just think of the most well-known esoteric symbols: the all-seeing eye, the pentagram, the caduceus, the cross, the spiral. Each of these carries millennia of encoded meaning. Even if you don't fully understand them, your body reacts. Your nervous system knows. And that is the point. The 33rd degree initiates and the inner circle adepts understand that the most effective way to influence mass consciousness is not through control, but through resonance. Embedding meaning beneath the surface so that it bypasses resistance. You see this in corporate logos, national flags, religious rituals, and even nursery rhymes. Layer upon layer of symbolic architecture. Every shape, every rhythm, every color choice has intent behind it. It's not manipulation in the cartoonish way people imagine. It's influence by design. Take language, for instance. Words are symbols too. Spells, quite literally. The word spelling comes from the act of casting words together to create meaning. And every word you speak carries vibration, not just in sound, but in intention. This is why affirmations can work, and why they often don't. Because if your internal vibration doesn't match the frequency of the words, the subconscious rejects them. It hears you say, "I am powerful." But if the symbolic associations behind that word conflict with your internal blueprint, you create static instead of resonance. That's why inner authority, as we explored in Chapter 2, is so critical. When you reclaim your sovereignty, your words regain power. Your symbols reclaim purity. And language becomes a tool for creation instead of control. Let's go deeper. Every major esoteric tradition uses mantras, sigils, or sacred names to unlock layers of perception. These aren't just rituals. They are vibrational keys. Repeating a mantra isn't about memorization. It's about tuning your energy field to the frequency of the symbol encoded in the sound. And guess what? The alphabet you read right now, this Latin alphabet, was constructed with layers of meaning. Letters are geometric codes. Sounds are vibrational tools. A, M, N, S, Z. They don't just mark speech, they carry archetypes. What's more powerful than a sword? A symbol that can reshape how someone sees the world. That's how the 33rd degree adepts operate, not through brute force, through elegant influence. They don't need to tell you what to think. They simply architect your environment with symbols, words, and meaning that do the thinking for you. But when you become aware of this, you reclaim your perception. You see the spells. You recognize the programming. And most importantly, you begin to write your own reality. So as you walk through your world today, pay attention. What symbols are you constantly exposed to? What phrases do you speak without thinking? Which ideas feel like yours, and which were placed in your mind by design? Because once you awaken to symbolic perception, the spell is broken, and what remains is clarity. In the next chapter, we dive deeper into what happens when these symbols, patterns, and perceptions are not only understood, but intentionally reprogrammed. We'll explore the art of spiritual alchemy and how the highest initiates transmute pain into power, confusion into clarity, and base energy into divine gold. When you're ready. Chapter 5. Spiritual Alchemy, Transmuting the Inner Lead into Gold. In the last chapter, we explored how symbols and language shape perception, how reality is subtly sculpted not by force, but by resonance. Once you become aware of the architecture of perception, you begin to see through the spell. But awareness is only the beginning. The next step is transformation. This is where spiritual alchemy begins. Forget what you've been taught about alchemy as just a medieval practice of turning metals into gold. That was only the outer mask, a metaphor carefully chosen to veil a far more powerful inner teaching. The real transmutation was never about base metals. It was always about you. The true alchemist does not turn lead into gold. They turn fear into wisdom, pain into power, and the self into the self. This is the path the 33rd degree teachings ultimately point to. Everything else, the symbols, the architecture, the esoteric rituals, are tools to support this core work, the inner transmutation of consciousness. But let's bring this down to the practical level. What is lead in this context? Lead is your unresolved trauma, your shame, your limiting beliefs, your inner wounds and emotional baggage. It's the heaviness you carry that dims your light and distorts your perception. It's the density that keeps you vibrating below your potential, even when your outer life appears successful. And what is gold? Gold is awareness, authenticity, creative power, compassion rooted in strength. It's the refined version of you, the version that lives in alignment with Source, able to manifest, influence, and create with clarity and purpose. Spiritual alchemy begins with a fundamental realization. Nothing inside you is wrong. Nothing is broken. Even the so-called darkness has value. In fact, it is through the darkness that the light is birthed. The inner alchemist sees pain as raw material, not something to be avoided, but something to be worked with. Here's how the process unfolds. Step 1. Illumination. Before transformation, there must be light. This step is about identifying the patterns, wounds, and reactions that run your life from the shadows. It is the work of becoming radically self-aware, shining the lamp of consciousness into the basement of your psyche. This is where the teachings from Chapter 2 and 3 come back into play. Your inner authority and energetic blueprint are your map here. The more clearly you see your design, the easier it becomes to recognize the distortions. Step 2. Acceptance. This is the part most people skip. They want to fix or escape, but true alchemy begins with embracing what is. Just as heat must fully penetrate metal to transform it, you must fully feel and acknowledge your emotions, thoughts, and memories. You do not transmute what you avoid. You transmute what you face with love. Acceptance isn't passive. It's powerful. It says, I will no longer abandon myself. Step 3. Transmutation. Now that you've brought light and embraced the shadow, you have the raw material for change. Transmutation often happens through practices like breathwork, meditation, sacred ritual, journaling, or energetic healing. But what really causes the shift is intention. The same clarity we explored in Chapter 3 now acts like a crucible. You begin to reframe the story. You stop asking, why did this happen to me? And start asking, what truth is this trying to reveal? What strength is being forged here? This is where you take the lead of victimhood and transform it into the gold of mastery. Step 4. Embodiment. True alchemy is not just mental, it's embodied. It changes how you walk, how you speak, how you show up in relationships, in business, in creativity. You become a living vessel of that transmuted energy. This is the secret most people miss. You don't have to become anything. You have to remember who you've always been and peel away the layers that hide it. The inner gold has always been there. Alchemy is the art of digging deep enough to uncover it and live it. The adepts of the 33rd degree understood this well. That's why the deeper rites are centered not on doctrine, but on experience. Direct transformation, initiation, death and rebirth within the same lifetime. They understood that unless you live your transformation, all the rituals and symbols mean nothing. So I ask you now, where in your life are you still carrying lead? What stories are you still using to define your worth? What emotions have you stuffed down instead of transmuting? This chapter is your invitation to go inward, to enter the crucible willingly, to let your old self melt in the fire of presence and emerge purified, clear, golden. In the next chapter, we will explore what happens after this transformation when you begin to see through the illusions of control and conditioning. We'll uncover the esoteric forces that influence mass consciousness and how to protect your field, maintain sovereignty, and master the art of reality crafting. Because once the inner lead is transmuted, you're ready to shape the world outside you. Let's continue. Chapter 6. The Veil and the Game. How Reality is Programmed. This chapter lifts the veil on one of the most uncomfortable yet empowering truths: that the reality you navigate daily is, in large part, a programmed illusion. A carefully constructed system that rewards conformity, distracts with noise, and subtly reshapes your perception through repetition, symbols, and structure. And yet, once you understand how the game is coded, you begin to see the back door. Let's revisit what we uncovered in Chapter 2, that you are not merely a receiver of truth, but the generator of your experience. Inner authority is the first key. But what stands in opposition to that authority? The external architecture of control. Let's break it down into three core mechanisms that define the veil. 1. Belief structures. Reality by inheritance. From childhood, you were handed a set of beliefs dressed up as truth. Not facts you chose, but filters you inherited. Beliefs like, stay realistic. Don't ask questions. success comes to those who struggle. These are not universal laws. They are culturally conditioned blueprints reinforced by family systems, schooling, religion, and media. Over time, they crystallize into the lens through which you perceive the world. And, as we discussed in Chapter 3, perception is reality creation. If the lens is fogged, your life mirrors it. But here's the power. Any belief that was installed can also be uninstalled. The moment you recognize a belief as optional, its grip weakens. 2. Symbolic triggers, the unconscious language. As we learned in Chapter 4, symbols are not just images, they're embedded codes. You don't think about them, you respond to them. That's their power. Think of corporate logos, political colors, religious iconography. These are not just designs. They are psychological triggers designed to evoke loyalty, fear, trust, or urgency. They bypass rational thought and land straight in the unconscious. This is how entire populations are nudged into agreement without dialogue. It's why architecture, media, and even fashion carry subliminal messages. The symbols speak louder than words, and unless you're aware, they speak for you. 3. Emotional entrapment. Frequency as a control mechanism. Though we haven't used the term vibration explicitly in this audiobook, the idea has been quietly running underneath everything. Every emotional state you dwell in, be it anger, gratitude, shame, love, creates a specific pattern of experience. The more time you spend in disempowered emotional states, the more easily you're controlled. The game is rigged in favor of your exhaustion. Distractions, division, noise, fear, outrage, all these are frequency leashes. The lower you feel, the smaller your choices appear. This is the subtle brilliance of the program. You mistake your cage for the world. But now that you see the programming, the next move is yours. Here's the truth. The game isn't evil. It's instructional. The Matrix teaches not through obedience, but through contrast. Each layer of illusion invites you to remember who you are, not a passive piece in someone else's game, but a conscious participant waking up inside the simulation. The question becomes, will you react or respond with presence? Will you follow the default code or rewrite it? Because behind the veil lies your ultimate power. The power to design your own interface with reality. If you've made it this far, you're not just observing the game. You're learning how to play it from the inside out. Next, we'll go deeper into Chapter 7, Master Codes, embodying the architect within, where we reveal how to move from decoding the world to recoding it, from being shaped by symbols to becoming a living symbol of transformation. Stay with me. The next layer is where the real initiation begins. Chapter 7, Master Codes, Embodying the Architect Within. Up until now, we've been studying the blueprint, dissecting the laws, peeling back the veils. But at some point in every initiatory journey, a shift occurs from the seeker of knowledge to the embodiment of it. This is the threshold where knowledge becomes knowing, where the outer map dissolves and you become the architect of the terrain. In this chapter, we're stepping into the deepest layer of the teaching. You are the code. Let's connect a few pieces from earlier chapters. In Chapter 2, we revealed the fifth law, inner authority, the recognition that your reality originates from within. In Chapter 3, we examined the hidden architecture that surrounds and influences your mind. Then in Chapter 4, we decoded the secret language of symbols that shape perception. And in Chapter 6, we exposed the mechanisms of programming, how beliefs, media, and symbols attempt to govern your choices. Now it's time to reverse the flow. Rather than being shaped by the world, you begin to shape it. The Master Codes. Every architect has tools. The Master Codes are not written in stone or stored in ancient texts. They are living principles that activate through embodiment. They are presence as power. When you are fully present, not in memory, not in fear of the future, your frequency becomes unshakable. Presence is the raw power that rewrites patterns. It is the ultimate disruptor of unconscious programming. Intention as instruction. The reality you experience follows not your wishes, but your dominant instructions. Every intention is a directive sent into the field. The clearer and more embodied the intention, the faster reality configures around it. Intention is not a thought. It's a way of being. Symbolic reclamation. As we explored earlier, symbols are programming tools. The moment you stop consuming them unconsciously and begin creating your own, you take the seat of the architect. This is why rituals, sigils, sacred geometry, and personal symbols have been used for millennia. A consciously chosen symbol becomes a personal energy key, something that speaks directly to your subconscious and reinforces your path. Energy, alignment over effort. Architects of reality don't hustle. They harmonize. They align their energy first, then move. This is not passivity. This is precision. You only take action when your inner environment is in coherence. And when it is, action becomes effortless. Becoming the living symbol. What does it mean to embody the architect? It means your life becomes the ritual. Your words become spells. Your environment becomes intentional. You become the living symbol of a conscious creator, not because you shout it, but because everything about you reflects it. You walk differently. You speak differently. You listen more deeply. You become less reactive, more sovereign. People don't know why they're drawn to you, but they are. Because you're no longer playing the old game. You've stopped reacting to the program and begun rewriting it. Your mind is no longer a receiver of reality. It's the transmitter. Your body is no longer a victim of the system. It's the vessel of the codes. Your presence is no longer a reaction to the world. It is the world responding to you. And if you've come this far, you are not here by accident. You were meant to remember. You were meant to reclaim. The next and final chapter is your invitation. Not just to understand what you are, but to live it. Chapter 8. The Return to Origin. Awakening the Inner Temple. The temple is not found in the stones of the old world, but in the silence behind your thoughts. From the beginning, this audiobook has been a journey through veils, a decoding of the unseen architecture that influences your reality. But beyond every code, every symbol, every structure, there is something more ancient, more primal, and infinitely more powerful. You, not the conditioned identity, not the persona that learned to perform in a programmed world, but the original self, the essence behind the eyes, the architect who never forgot. This final chapter is not a conclusion. It's a return. A return to what all true wisdom traditions have pointed toward, the inner temple. The sacred center where the divine and the human are no longer separate. Where you no longer seek the light, because you realize you are the light. The temple was never outside. Throughout this audiobook, we've explored how the external world has been shaped by invisible forces, by esoteric orders, symbolic languages, hidden frequencies, and inherited beliefs. But the greatest deception isn't just that these structures exist. It's that they convinced you the power was out there. The sacred rites, the degrees, the secrets, they were never about joining a lodge or passing an external test. They were metaphors, markers, a path leading inward. The 33rd degree wasn't the summit. It was the key. The real initiation begins not when you ascend, but when you turn inward. This is the paradox of all esoteric systems. They lead you in circles until you realize the temple you were searching for was you all along. Building the inner temple. To awaken this temple is not to memorize ancient texts or chant foreign mantras. It's simpler, quieter, but far more transformative. Here are three foundational principles for returning to origin. Radical stillness. Stillness is not absence. It is presence in its purest form. When you return to silence, you deactivate the outer program. You unplug from the noise. In that silence, your true knowing begins to whisper again. The voice of your original blueprint. Sacred observation. Everything you observe without judgment becomes fuel for transformation. When you witness your thoughts, triggers, fears, and patterns without becoming them, you begin transmuting the lead into gold. This is the continuation of the spiritual alchemy we discussed in Chapter 5. Observation is how the temple clears itself. Devotion to alignment. Your only work is alignment, not perfection, not hustle, but congruence. When your thoughts, emotions, and actions match your inner truth, the temple activates. Life reorganizes itself around your coherence. You were always the initiate. This chapter, this moment, is your initiation. Not into a hierarchy, but into wholeness, into sovereignty. Because if you've come this far, something within you has already remembered. You've seen through the illusions. You've heard the echoes of ancient truths, not from outside, but from within. You are not just the student of this wisdom. You are the source of it. So what now? Live it. Let your life become the ritual. Let your breath become the chant. Let your presence become the symbol. There is nothing more to seek, only more to embody. The journey doesn't end here. It begins now. Not in the outer world, not in the structures or symbols, but in the quiet knowing behind your eyes. Return to the origin. Awaken the inner temple. And remember what they hoped you'd never realize. You were the architect all along.